to get into our next segment. Y'all are about to witness a live taping of Atlanta's number one podcast. Y'all, can you put your ones up one time? I know we hear it all the time, but I'm standing on it. This is Atlanta's number one podcast. I need y'all to make some noise for the God Show. Please welcome the founder and host, Ray Daniels.
Introduce myself. My name is Ho, H to the O-V. I used to move snowflakes by the O-Z. I guess even back then you can call me CEO or the R-O-C.
Yo, 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 let's go, let's go, let's go. ATL, what's up, what's up, what's up, what's up, what's up? Let's go, let's go, let's go. I appreciate y'all. Appreciate y'all sending that warm welcome. Let's get into it. Huh? I fuck with y'all too. I fuck with y'all too. So look, number one, I just want to shout out United Masters for picking a local to do this interview. Let's give a shout out. Let's give up applause to United Masters. They could have easily brought someone from another city or another place, but they brought someone from Atlanta, putting in work in Atlanta. So I want to do that. Today, I'm about to do a live interview with who I think is one of the smartest, if not the smartest man in black music and music period. And I want to make sure we give him a real ATL welcome to show him that we appreciate things like this so we can get more things like this. So I want everybody, I want y'all to actually stand up if you can, and let's give a round of applause to the legendary Steve Stout. Let's go, clap for this man.
Thank you, everybody. Please take a seat. Thank you. You are far too kind. Such a beautiful crowd.
Y'all excited to hear this? I want to make sure they do this every year. So let's give them all the love that they deserve, because this shit, it means a lot to us. Y'all ready? So, Stout, I've been in the music business about 20 years now. When I saw you launch United Masters, no, hold on, I'm gonna tell you a funny story. 2016, I'm working at a major label. I see the president of the company, and I pull him to the side, and I said, the revolution is happening outside right now in front of our eyes. And if we don't get into distribution, we're gonna lose out. And he was like, oh, don't worry about it. We're gonna always be those guys. Then I see you launch United Masters. And I said, we in trouble. Because the music business has been built on the back of impresarios, those leaders who take like the Walt Yetnovich and the Clive Davis, the Jimmy Iovines, the L.A. Reeds of the world. And you're one of those guys. So when I saw you coming, I knew that we were in trouble. And then you introduced label services to distribution, which is what everyone is now doing. What was your thought process when you was coming into United Masters? What made you want to come back and save us? Because we need you.
It wasn't saving anybody. What was clear to me was that around 2015, 2016, all these artists were taking off on SoundCloud. And then they would just, the record companies would sign them. So I'm like, if the record companies are just signing these artists off of SoundCloud, they're not doing any A&R work anymore. Why should the artists give up so much of their image and likeness and percentage and ownership of their masters if there's no true investment in them? They already have done, you know, the hard part. So to me, it was very clear. And then Jimmy left to go start, which was Apple Music. And then Jay had bought the company, which was Tidal. And to me, like Jay-Z and Jimmy were the two best entrepreneurs that were still kind of in the business. So when they left to go build streaming services, to me it was very clear to build the apparatus to connect artists to those streaming services.
If you are inside in this business, you know the most important thing that you have is taste, right? You know, money is everywhere, but if you want to be a successful artist, you have to have taste. You have to have someone that understands how to take you from zero through the roof, right? And most distribution companies weren't built on that. You got an all-star cast, bro. Like, the fact that you have Dave Milhedo, you have Latrice Burnett, Ryan Haslam, Juju, you have all of these people with you, like you really are building an empire that can take an artist from zero to 1,000, because Latrice and I worked at Epic together, and Latrice did all Future, all DJ Khaled. So now if you're an independent artist going through United Masters, you have access to that kind of power, that kind of brain.
We didn't make the announcement for Latrice yet.
Oh, I'm so... My bad. I'm sorry, Latrice. I'm sorry. I love her. That's my Virgo sister. I love her. I just wanted to give her some props. But let's talk about Dave then. Was this on Dave? But what I'm saying is that the thing that makes... You, the thing that made United Masters, to me, the biggest threat to the construct that's been the music business with the big three is the staff you put together.
Yeah.
The heads, the fact that you at the head, the fact that you understand the power of and influence of music.
Well, thank you for that. I do believe that we have a very strong team. Dave Milhedo, Mike Weiss, Juju, Ryan... Tracy, so many people who are just talented, who believed in the vision. Because there are, and we still go through tough times. I mean, it hasn't turned yet. It's turning, and it's turning fast.
Fast.
But it hasn't turned yet. So when you talk about some of the people who were here for the last 5 years, they went through, you know, believing in something that the world had not seen yet. And... You know, as much as I try to be inspiring and I talk about where the world is going, you know, they also have belief in themselves. And they believe in artists and want to change the industry. So I think it's the convergence of my vision and wisdom and their faith and belief in change and wanting to help artists that has led to the team that we have today. I think we have the best team in the music business. I literally think that we have the best team out of any label. We'll beat any label in label services.
Period.
With the savages we have on our team.
Because you have to have a certain type of personality. These labels have people in these major companies have people in the job, but they're not like animals. They're not like us. They're not keeping up. It's not keeping up at night that I'm not winning. Like I need a number one record. I need to be winning. Like it keeps us at night. I wanna say a word that most artists are triggered by, but it's a very important word for artists to win in today's market. And you said it. You said, you can't teach sacrifice. And if you look at today's business, right, everyone, you see these new artists running to the majors, and then you see these smart artists
running away from the majors.
Yeah. Exactly. So can you talk about, like, because it's really instant gratification versus delayed gratification because you believe in yourself on the back end.
Now, listen, if you're an artist and you actually don't believe in yourself, you should go sign with a major label and take the money. So there are certain artists that should do that. Yes. Like if you're just a one-trick pony and you're not that talented or you don't believe that you are, and somebody's willing to give you money, then I guess that's the right thing to do. Yeah. But if you actually do believe in yourself and you do believe it and you know that you're talented, and you're willing to do the work, you should never do that. You should not give away your image and likeness. You should not sign away your rights in perpetuity just to be down with a major label. They are doing nothing that we can't do. And we're not the only ones, by the way. There's an army of strong independent labels out right now, or distribution companies that you can go with. So I just support independent music overall. Now, when you talk about independent distribution and label services, we are by far the best at that. But specifically just for distribution, there are other people that can do it. If you want label services on top of that, then you should absolutely come to United Masters.
Let's clap for United Masters. I want y'all to make sure. Because y'all got to understand something. Distribution was never, and the music business is built on being sexy. Distribution was not sexy until United Masters entered the distribution game.
I wanted to be what Def Jam was in its prime of independent music. That's what I wanted to be. That was a, you know, a goal I had in my mind. As when you used to say I was with Def Jam, that meant something. Yeah. I wanted, you know, and I want United Masters to be what that means to independent artists. And I think we're doing a really good job. And You know, that's why we have events like this, because I want entrepreneurs, whether you're a producer, you're an artist, or just making money in the creator economy, you are independent. You are an independent thinker. You are an independent person. And I just believe in independence overall. If you look at over time, I believe very strongly that whether it was, and this is dark, but you go back to the beginning of it, of the way you were employed, it was slavery. It was the indentured servant. There was the employee, and now we're owners, right? And I want everybody to be owners, whether it's equity in the company or starting your own company on your own, you should absolutely own a piece of the work that you're putting in to your craft. I believe that fundamentally, that's the only way you're gonna have financial freedom, generational wealth, and all of the things that are attached to ownership. So part of United Masters isn't just fighting to get artists to be independent, it's fighting for the much bigger purpose, which is independence plus ownership, so that you could actually write your own future.
By the way, I just want to give you props for that, because the current state of the business, just so everybody know, is that they don't allow employees to have outside business unless they build outside business. And what I know about you is that you support all of your employees being entrepreneurs, like allowing them to grow themselves.
Well, they have equity in the company.
For sure.
They have if I win, everyone wins. They have equity in the company. So you're not looking at speaking to anybody at United Masters that do not own piece of United Masters. Dave Mahalo has piece of the company. The same piece of the company I have, he has.
Shout out Dave Mahalo.
Okay. But that's how we built the organization. That's how tech companies were built. Tech companies are built very strongly by building a team of engineers that all own piece of the product. So whether Facebook, they're now Meta, all of the people who built that own the company. Google, all the people who built that owns the company. That is a premise in Silicon Valley that was not in the recorded music business that I brought to the recorded music business.
Sure. I'm gonna ask you a question. In 2024, so if you guys don't know, I wanna just tell you something. So the way the business was always looked at was, if it was an artist, they was on a poster on the wall, right? This United Masters sign, that's an artist, right? What Steve Stout did was he took the artist off the poster and made it a 360 person. Now you're seeing just not the music, you're seeing the shades they're wearing, you're seeing the sneakers they're wearing. You brought the 360 way to look at a figure, almost like an action figure. How does it feel in 2024 seeing everybody benefit from that thought process?
That's a really good question. When I first started doing it in 2000, no one thought, in order to do that back then, you needed to have relationships with corporate America. So you have to get corporate America to believe that a hip hop artist could do something more than just sell music that was vulgar, which is the way they looked at the whole category. And I had a hard time back then doing deals for anybody, trying to get Nas a deal with corporate America, trying to get Jay-Z a deal with corporate America, whoever it was really tough. They just didn't want to, you know, mess with rap music. When we got into making sneakers, whether it was the S. Carter or the G Units, the ice creams of Pharrell, that was sort of the beginning of the idea that we can create brands from artists. So now when I look up today, I'm proud to know that, you know, specifically with hip hop, that was the guy who created that opportunity for the genre. I obviously don't like to see when those opportunities are squandered, because I think there's a great responsibility that we have when you open up a door, that you leave the door open so that other people can benefit from it. So doing stupid shit and messing it up for everybody else, I don't think that part is cool. And there's some stuff like that still takes place. But generally speaking, how I feel about it, I'm very proud. And I'm very proud that people acknowledge that it was something that I had the foresight on.
to leave a $2.5 million job to make $150,000 a year, you definitely have belief in yourself. And it was probably the greatest move you could have made for yourself. Am I correct?
Yeah. When you say it now, it sounds crazy. And I know people look at it like it's a very odd thing. Like, you walked away from $2.5 million to make $150,000. When I did that, I was 29 years old. And I realized that if I didn't take the shot at equity then, that by the time I became in my 30s and had children and a family, that I would never be able to do that. See, what happens is the lifestyle that you have sometimes is the drug that you're addicted to.
Can you say that one more time? I just want that's important to be said.
Sometimes the lifestyle that you have is the drug that you're addicted to. And you have to go take the sacrifice to get off that drug so that you could actually go deep and build something that has everlasting value. And at 29 years old, when I was making $2.5 million a year and buying everything that you that could, if it had any shine, I owned it. I realized that that was cool and it was temporary. And let me go build something, learn something that would be, you know, what we are today. A $550 million company. We have 2.1 million artists that we distribute. We are the leading creative solutions company in the business with translation. We represent everybody from the NFL. I mean, work with the NBA, State Farm, and WhatsApp, and you know, countless other clients that we do work for. And I can also say that we are the best in the world at that.
Appreciate it. That's amazing. Where does a guy from Queens get this thought process? Like Stout, I heard you talk 20 years ago, and I'm like, this guy's brilliant. Like, and then you, when you see somebody so brilliant and you from the hood, you kind of come like, well, damn. What, like, where did that come from? Like, how did this guy come from this background, have this big mind, have these eyes to see these big things? Like, what was in it? Was it in your household? Was it a parent? Was it like a mentor?
Well, my mom is right there.
Oh, let's give it up for mom. I'm gonna stand up. Let's stand up for his mama. Come on, I'm gonna stand up. She don't have to stand up. Let's stand up for his mama.
I mean, my mom believed in me first as an entrepreneur. You know, so the story really is that as I was coming up in the business, I was coming up rather in general. This is a very, very important and intimate story. So I'm doing my thing and I need some money, like $15,000, $20,000, which at the age of 18, 19 is a lot of money to ask for. But I had no place to get it. And back then I was doing mortgages. I was hustling mortgages. So my mom refinanced our house, which was the only thing we had. You know, we had our home, that was our wealth, it was in the house. My mom refinanced the house, didn't even ask my father for permission. She refinanced the house to lend me the $20,000. And I took the $20,000, I gave her back $30,000 a month later, and then I was on my way. But my mom did that for me at a young age, and I couldn't let my mom down. So the belief in myself, it first started in believing in the fact that I couldn't let my mom down. I couldn't let myself down, and that was the drive, man. The drive coming from West Indian parents, immigrants, you know, knowing that we have to overachieve. You know, you become resourceful. And resourcefulness leads to ideas. You know, you're hungry and you're resourceful, you're going to come up with ideas. And now you could do some stupid shit. And of course, it's always tempting. It's right there in the hood to do some stupid shit. And I chose not to do that. And I understand why people do that. I just chose not to do that. I think I've seen a lot of people, guys that I grew up with, fail, get locked up, and do stupid. Like, it just didn't look like it was the right thing. It just didn't work. It wasn't even a moral thing. Like, I didn't look at, when I was coming up, I didn't go like, oh, they're selling drugs. That's a really bad thing to do. I didn't think that. What I thought was, this looks short term. Yeah. That's what I thought.
So you coming up, when I read your book, you talk about when you wanted to go from basically being head of black music to advertising. How horrible is that?
The head of black music.
Exactly. Trust me.
This is a terrible, terrible.
It's even worse when the person is not black.
Yeah.
That's a whole other story, though.
Yeah.
It's even that's funny, right? But that's really a lot of our lives. I swear it is.
Yeah, I was the head of black music.
Yeah, but so
terrible.
When you went from that job to advertising, you also spoke about how you had to clean yourself up. You had to, like, you knew you was entering a new world, and you knew you almost had to, like, I don't want to say code switch, but you knew how they was looking at you, and you knew that you had to do certain things because you wanted to gain that knowledge.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times as black people who come and we have our journeys that we see it all. We see it all. We feel it all. You know, when you come from nothing, that's one of the things that you get by default is this feeling, this gut feeling. It's actually what guides you. And when I started going into corporate America, people, they would show me things, and I immediately had the answer. And I realized that if you just said the answer really quickly, it wouldn't be appreciated. You actually had to You have to show substance behind the answer. So it wasn't, did you have the right answer? They wanted to see the process on how you got to the answer.
The thought process.
And that's when I learned that I had to slow down and start to learn how to build out thought processes that actually made the answer look like, or not even look like, show the thought that went to the answer. And that became very, very valuable for me. Many people in this room have the right answer. Many people in this room don't know how to prove that's the right answer. Yes. Having the right answer is 30% of
driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
The 70% of it is showing how you got to that answer. That's corporate America. That's the dirty little secret.
That's how you gain their respect. They got to know that you have a thought process.
I guess that's part of it, right? It's part of it. It's how you earn their respect or what they value, because they don't have the answer. Yes. So the only thing they can do is judge how you got to the answer.
So there are a lot of, you know, I'm going to tell you a funny story. I actually signed at my last position. I signed Enele Chapa. I signed him. I signed three artists from United Masters.
You were at Warner?
Yeah, I was at Warner.
You did that deal.
Trust me. I appreciate it, but I know what he's talking about when he said he did that deal. No, but I did that deal, and, you know, I remember being in the middle of it, and I remember thinking, like...
That really bothered me.
I know it did. And also... When this is my first signing, I'm just starting to get there. We talking to do the deal. I'm in the middle of it, and I'm making all these promises. Like, we're gonna do this. We're gonna everything that they're telling me we're gonna do. And when we finally got in there,
you're lying.
Well, how about this? I didn't know it. I didn't know, because when labels find you, they say anything they have to. I didn't know what the intent was. They just wanted the artist, because obviously it affects market share. It was more about their market share to me than it was about the talent of the artist.
I always felt like labels, I want to get into that.
Please.
That it was, they were actually behind black on black crime. Like, they couldn't get to the artists themselves. So they would find people that they could empower and then give them the toolkit of lies to convince the artist to do some stupid shit.
And they make the black faces make the promises
yeah.
to the black artist because yes. we trust each other naturally.
Yeah.
And then you realize that that black person has no power.
Zero. And then all of a sudden the artist has to go around you and then you get smoked.
Yep. And to be honest with you, I think based on everything that happened that history has told itself, he would probably be way richer if he stayed with United Masters.
By the way, him and his mom are great.
Absolutely. Shout out to Angelina.
NLE and Angelina, I love them. Yep. They helped prove the theory. I was happy that we were able to launch his career, and I'm proud of the man that he's become. He definitely left a lot of money on the table by signing that deal.
I already know. So that's what I'm getting to. You have all these artists that are basically selling themselves for an advance. Then you have the rich artists, the smart artists, the Brent Faiyaz of the world, the Davidos of the world, the Earth Gang. Shout out to Barry. I don't even know Barry here, but that's my family. That's my cousin.
Barry's
Earth
my
Gang.
Man.
Barry's so brilliant, bro. and Earth Gang and all of the smart guys, like, they're all coming to do business with you now. What would you say to the younger artists that don't want to sacrifice, that don't understand? They might believe in themselves, but they want that check more than they believe in themselves. Like, what would be your advice to them at that place?
I kind of think I said it. If you really believe in yourself, all right, look, with us, it's not like you can get an advance. It's not like you can't get an advance. It's not like no money versus money. It's less money and ownership
versus
more money and no ownership. And I'm saying take less money and ownership. Believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, if you're not willing to bet on yourself, then that's the most riskiest thing you could possibly ever do. It's not bet on yourself. You're going to bet on something else. You're going to bet on a football game when somebody you don't know throwing a football. You're going to bet on what are you betting on? Bet on yourself. Bet on the fact that you're going to wake up every single day and believe that you're going to do the work. And if you don't have that, there's something fundamentally wrong. If you don't have that.
I agree. And I tell you, when I worked at all three majors, every time I came in the room, they announced, Ray Daniels from Universal is here. Ray Daniels from Interscope. Ray Daniels from Warner. It would piss me off because I'm the same Ray Daniels. And I just wanted to be known for who I was because we give those companies so much credit. But the people that's running those companies are not the people that built those companies. We don't talk enough about that. You're the actual founder of your company you're building. You care about the name, everything. Most of these guys at these companies, they don't care. They inherited a high-paying job, and they just want to keep the pay. And if that means stepping on your head, lying, whatever, they're going to do whatever it takes to keep it. It's just the game. So when I see artists making that, like, running over there, they don't even know. And I'm going to give you guys some insight. How you approach the deal tells us how you view yourselves, right? So if you coming in the room and you saying, I want to leave this company, this distribution company, and I want to sign with you guys, but I want $5 million. If you only focusing on the number and you're not focusing on the actual points of the deal, you just told them, I'm here to get this money, and they know how to deal with you going forward from now on.
100%.
Because I'm willing to bet if you spoke to any superstar, they don't receive royalty checks. The major label's game is to keep you in debt by advancing you. So when someone says, I just got $1 billion from a company, that means that they got $2 billion sit that coming in over the next couple of years, and they just giving you an advance on something that they already got coming in.
I mean, I hope everybody understands what you say and when you talk about that, because there's a lot of truth to everything you just said. A lot of artists don't even know how much money is in the pipeline of their own money because they just keep getting advances until they can't get an advance, and then they find out they're broke.
Yep.
It just happens that sudden. Like, every time you need money, they give you money, and then all of a sudden you have one album that doesn't sell or one project that doesn't sell, and then you find out you're broke. And then you start to look, well, then you go, we're going to run an audit. Let's look at this. And then you realize every single thing that they charge you for, all of that, everything that you've seen in the green room, all of the car rides, all of the plane tickets, everything you thought was love was coming out of your bill.
The conversations that we had that you didn't even know we were having, but I spent X amount of dollars on a dinner or flew someone somewhere. When you sign a deal, you're giving me the label permission to put more debt on top of
you. Listen, if we can sit here and talk about this for hours, honestly. I don't... Don't sign with record labels if you believe in yourself. Next topic.
Sign yourself.
Yeah.
So speaking of signing, you're probably the only person in the music business that can say this. You signed Kobe Bryant. How crazy is that?
It's, I think about him very often. Back then, in what year was this? Probably 96, 97. You could actually, Shaquille O'Neal went platinum, just so that we're clear. Shaquille O'Neal sold
a million records.
He did it twice. And this whole idea that if you were famous and you could rap over like a sample or you make some music, people would buy it based off of your popularity. They would just buy the album, the CD at the time. And Kobe had a group. He was in a group. And I signed the group. And I felt like I seen this kid. He took Brandy to the prom. Good looking kid in a rap group. You know, as soon as we did the deal, he got rid of the group. He went solo. Kind of the way he played the game.
Yeah.
And we developed a very, very strong friendship for many, many years. Obviously, God bless him and his family.
You and Ben Horowitz, I saw it in the news. You guys are doing concerts, if I'm not mistaken, where you're giving the proceeds to legendary artists that might not have been rewarded.
It's not concerts. So Ben Horowitz, who's an investor and a very good friend of mine, our lead investor in United Masters, dear friend, the best in by far in venture capitalists in the world. We started a foundation called Paid in Full.
Yes.
And what we do at Paid in Full is artists who signed record deals very early, in the early 80s, mid 80s, they didn't get the money, they didn't receive money that was equal to the cultural impact and influence that they had. So a lot of them, these artists, their music plays to this day. A lot of the trends that they set are apparent even in this room today, but yet they didn't have the means for healthcare. So a lot of them have to go run around touring if they could tour, and there's a lot of, obviously, heartache in the fact that they don't have the money. So Paid in Full is about giving back to these artists who've made these contributions and trying to stimulate them to keep moving forward and get them acknowledged. So last year was our first kickoff, and we had Scarface and Rakim, and they each got $500,000.
Yes.
To get going. This year in November, we're honoring three or four other artists, and we're doing this annually. It's literally giving back to the artists who helped create the culture that we all celebrate here today. And I'm very proud of that.
You started with Kid and Play. Am I correct? If you're smiling, I'm only smiling because I was on the phone with Shaka Zulu. We was talking about it this morning. He was like, yeah, you know, he's a Kid and Play. I'm like, I wanted to bring that up and ask you about that.
I started with Kid and Play. For those in the room who knows Kid and Play and House Party, I started as a road manager for those guys back then. And my first, the story goes, so I'm with Kid and Play, and when they're on tour, there's a guy who's opening up. So the opening act is with this guy. I'll get to him in a second. And I'm the road manager. And the movie comes out, house party, it's a hit, the whole thing. The guy who's the opening act has a role in House Party and gets a sitcom opportunity. And I get a producer, and we work on the theme music. And anyhow, the sitcom gets picked up, and the theme music goes big. And that was the first thing that I did in the music business that got me going, which was the Martin Lawrence theme song.
Martin.
Yeah, that's how the whole thing got going, was the Martin Lawrence theme song. So shout out to Martin Lawrence and Kid Capri and Kid from Kid and Play, who helped bring that opportunity forward. And that's how I got going with the Martin Lawrence theme song, believe it or not.
That's crazy. I want to ask you, what album affected your childhood the most as a hip-hop fan?
It was two songs.
Yeah, okay.
It was two songs. I remember the first time I went up to Uptown Records, Andre Harrell, another, God bless the dead. I went to Andre Harrell's office, and it was a soundtrack for this movie that he had coming out. And I first heard, before anybody heard it, it was a promo that was cut. Mary J. Blige, You Remind Me. And I remember hearing that, thinking, oh my God, I gotta do this. Like, if you ever listen, when I first heard that song, I couldn't believe somebody was speaking to my generation, to the way I would love to speak to a young lady, the way, you know, I wanted to be looked at as a young man. It was like right dead, and the outfit and everything about it was that. And the second song was, I was sitting in my driveway, because in my house, if you blast the music in the house, West Indian parents wasn't having that. So I would go in the car in the driveway and blast the music in the car in the driveway. And I was listening to Nas' Halftime. And I was like, I had to meet this guy. But it was those two things that whether I was the road manager and I came down and I started doing that, it was those two songs specifically. It wasn't an album that said, I got to go into this business and I gotta do my thing. And then shortly thereafter, I came down. I had this group. I used to come down to Atlanta all the time. I used to come down to Buckhead, and this is 92. Before the Olympics got here, there used to be a countdown to the Olympics. I remember the 400, that's the highway. It wasn't.
Yeah, it just got built. Yeah, 400.
It wasn't built at all.
It was built, yeah, right around
there. They were building it. It wasn't built. And I'd come down here, and literally, Outkast was shopping their demo.
Yes.
And, you know, I became really good friends. Another, God bless, Swal, Life Is So Fragile, Rico. Wade, yeah. And me and Rico Wade became very good friends. In fact, I did Rico Wade's Organized Noise deal over at Interscope.
I know you did that deal. Kilo put out an album under that deal.
Yeah,
Kilo,
yeah. So I signed Rico and Organized Noise. I just spoke to Three Stacks and Big Boy this week. I've known Future because Rico was his nephew. And he used to see me come to the crib. I've gone to the basement.
So you've been to the dungeon. Yes, you know, Meathead, everybody. Thing.
Yes, man.
Yo, the illest thing about you is that if you want something, you gonna go get it. I heard a story about how you went into Queensbridge looking for Nas. I just want to know, in 2024. Do you still have that fire in you? Like, I don't care where he at, I'm going.
Yeah, I do have that. I have it, and when you have a company today and you have the amount of people we have, there is bureaucracy, unfortunately. And I have to go through, people are sensitive. Everybody's sensitive. This is a very sensitive time, so you gotta be very
careful
with the sensitivity. So that let's go get it, let's go make it happen mentality has to be somewhat structured because you have an organization. But I personally, I don't feel any different when I have an idea.
Yes.
That I did when I was back then. I'll go anywhere to go get it. You good? Cool. Yeah, I'll go anywhere to go get it because it's that important to me.
I don't think I've ever heard you say answer this question before, and it's pretty much my last question. You are a hip-hop connoisseur. You've been around hip-hop. I mean, you've had a front row seat to stars, to MCs, to the greatest, everything. Does Stout have a top five rap list, rappers list?
I don't really, I mean, I have my top five, but I don't even know if my top five is the top five.
No, no, it's just you. I just want, from your perspective, because you've done it at the highest level, as a fan of hip hop, I'm curious.
When I listen to, I only care about bars.
Yes. So
let me just start with that.
Perfect.
So songs and all that shit is cool. It's not where I'm at.
For
I like
sure.
Bar. I appreciate great songs.
Yes.
But with rap, bars.
Yes.
Jay, Nas, Big. Rakim. I'll just leave it right there. It's four. When I listen to those people rhyme, yes, it's remarkable to me.
It's like incredible.
It's remarkable to me that more people don't know the words that they say all
Absolutely.
The time because it's that profound.
Absolutely.
And I look at those artists no different than people talk about Shakespeare or any great artist that they teach you in school. I look at the people I just mentioned in that same exact category.
I don't think that
they are any less than or anything like that. I think that they are equivalent, if not even more profound as writers than the greatest writers that they've taught us in schools.
And 100, 300 years from now, they're going to be studying their work, their words, and everything.
Look, man, the play Hamilton that has toured around the world and has broken every record. It's literally Nas's rhyme pattern. It's Nas and KRS-One's rhyme pattern.
Exactly.
And Lin Miranda signed the book that he read on Hamilton and gave the book to Nas.
Crazy.
He knows where the rhyme pattern came from. And because he used those rhyme patterns, it allowed them to put a bunch of words in a very short period, in a short space.
For sure.
So you could actually tell much more in-depth storytelling because you could, that's going to be studied.
The cadence,
Cadence will be studied.
Yeah.
It's a very important factor of writing that changed the landscape of storytelling.
So my show is called The God Show. GODS is an acronym for goats and underdogs. So the last question I ask every guest is, do you consider yourself a goat or an underdog? And if you are an underdog, what do you personally want to accomplish so you can feel like you would say you're the GOAT?
I didn't know it stood for that. I've always felt and still feel that I'm an underdog. It drives me. I still feel like I have something to prove. There's so much more I have to give. I have to give all of you. Much more ideas that I want to bring to this world. The tension of people doubting me is what drives me. So I convince myself I'm the underdog.
You? They still doubt you? I can't believe it.
I believe that. I convince myself of that.
Okay, there it is.
And that's what stimulates me. So, you know, when people say you're the greatest at this, that, and the third, sometimes I shy away from all that. Those accolades are going to be there. If I keep doing what I'm doing, those accolades will be there.
Absolutely.
I don't want those accolades to get in the way of what drives me to do what I need to do.
Well, I just want to tell you something. If there's anybody in here, I'm 44. If there's anybody here 44 under stout shaped out, and we listen to hip hop stout shaped our childhood and how we saw our characters, our heroes, and everything. Like, you commercialized in the most greatest way hip hop. You let us be ourselves on the greatest stage. Jay-Z and 50 Cent didn't have to put on suits for Sprite. They came as themselves. So yeah. For that reason, yeah. You are a GOAT. You are the GOAT. Let's give it up for Steve Stout. I'm going to stand up. Let's clap for Steve Stout. You are the GOAT, my brother. Steve Stout, guys. Let's clap a little bit louder for Steve Stout. Let's go. And like I end every show, this the God Show, and we are out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.